HPR's Kuve Hirishi joins us this morning with a look at the issues challenging the doctor shortage in the islands.
That's right, aloha, Catherine. So some of Hawaii's small independent primary care doctors are saying that they're struggling under this new payment system that was rolled out about 2 years ago by HMSA, the state's largest insurer. So they're saying it's administratively burdensome and that the financial benefits don't currently outweigh the cost. So the theory, or the biggest driver of this change, was to cut down on or control rapidly rising healthcare costs. And the theory is that sort of under this conventional reimbursement method, which we all might be familiar with, which sort of I like to use this analogy, function much like a credit card. So you'd give the doctor the credit card, they deliver all the care that they want with sort of an unlimited cap, and then that would be billed, they would file claims with the insurance company, and the insurance company would pay that. And they were seeing that, they're thinking that they were seeing sort of unnecessary costs or unnecessary care being delivered. So under this new method, they're getting sort of this prepaid, they're getting cash like a front, and doctors are from the insurance company. And then that way they can sort of work within that fixed cost to see what care they're gonna deliver. So right now the average rate is about $24 per patient per month that all these doctors are getting, less for Quest. You get like $12 a month for Quest patients.
That's not a lot.
That's not a lot. A per patient per month, let's remember that. But then also you can get as much as $60 under folks that are paid for by like Akamai Medicare Advantage. And so supporters are saying, you know, we get the money up front. That helps us because then we don't have to, it'll cut down on our need to see our patients on a face-to-face basis, because you can see the doctor once a year and they'll still get paid $24 a month, or you can see them every day and the doctor will still get $24 a month. So it's hard to see where it's at right now. But the goal, I think everyone agrees on, even the struggling doctors, is that the high healthcare costs need to be controlled. And if this is a method, let's try it out. So that's where we're at right now. We have been able to hear from critics. So mostly, like I said, small independent primary care doctors, right? So like the small business entrepreneurs of the healthcare industry. And they're saying that the pay rate, that $24 a month, isn't enough to sustain their private practice, because you've got to account for things like overhead, rent for your spot. If you have staffing, but some don't have staffing. It's just them. So this one that we spoke to, Dr. Melanie Pianaw, she's a family practitioner over in IAEA. She's got about 600 patients, and she's saying the only way she can make more money is to cut on costs. So reduce sort of if things like pap smears or any kind of things that will cost her money, because they don't get reimbursed anymore, right? They get that money up front. And any sort of cost that they have to incur through that care is stuff that they're thinking, maybe I should eliminate, because then I can keep that money. But she talks about, you know, the only way she can do that is to take on more patients.
I can take on a lot of new patients, but if you're only getting $23 for that new patient, you can calculate how many new patients I have to see in a month for my income to even grow by $1,000. And I can't hustle that many patients quickly enough, nor see that many new patients in a month. And so I seek out other opportunities where at least I can get a set salary and make sure that I at least have another $6,000 to $10,000 extra a month to cover for my own living expenses and then pay my overhead here.
So Dr. Pianaw actually has, she just picked up another job. So she had two jobs, but over the last 2 or 3 years, she's had anywhere from 2 to 3 jobs working Medicare wellness visits on the weekend. She was a medical director at one of the hospice companies here in Hawaii. So you don't think about needing more than one job for our doctors.
Yes, but you don't.
But that is the reality, and at least for our smaller independent primary care physicians. And another challenge for them has been this administrative burden, which we've seen kind of go up across the board, and not necessarily on account of just payment transformation, but we're seeing that everywhere. for doctors here in the U.S. So now that HMSA pays doctors ahead of time, there's sort of that heavy documentation required to keep the doctors accountable that they're actually using the money the way they that they should be. And this is increased overhead for a lot of these independent doctors. And HMSA admits, you know, it's the independents that are most impacted by this change and that they're aware of this.
A lot of what you need to succeed in this are things like technology, data analytics, things that need some scale to help you be successful. And so that's why you need to aggregate resources in order to be successful. So the independents will have the greatest challenge to do that.
That's Dr. Mark Mugiishi, the chief medical officer for HMSA, who says this year one of the main focuses for HMSA is to work with the physician organizations to help alleviate this burden that's been put on physicians statewide. But the good news, HMSA says, is the metrics from the first year, the data looks good. Quality of care is up, patient satisfaction's up, and access has improved. But this impact to our small independent primary care physicians is really something that we really haven't been able to find a lot of data on. Nobody's really tracking this. And Dr. Chris Flanders, executive director of the Hawaii Medical Association, who represents about 1,100 active physicians here in Hawaii, says that study is really what we're going to do.
We're in support of doing a study of the payment transformation program as it exists, so that we can gather the data and take a look at it to, number one, find out if it is succeeding in doing the things that we want it to do, lower the costs and those kind of things. But more importantly to us, that we make Hawaii attractive for physicians to come and practice and stay here once they get here. Because we've been going through this physician shortage and everybody knows that that exists. So it's important to us that the access issues be improved on and that this isn't something that's harming the access issue or making it worse.
So that goes back to your initial question. We know we are approaching 800 doctors. We're short 800 doctors right now statewide and about a third of that in primary care. So it's sort of important that we look at how this is affecting our smaller doctors.
Right. Again, otherwise it's just anecdotal. I know we got something from a listener saying that the doctor that he liked quit HMSA and went to Kaiser.
Exactly. And we're seeing these anecdotal stories being shared, but we want to know what's really going on. And I think we'll see more of that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kuvei. That was HPR's Kuvei Hirishi. To read her stories, go to HawaiiPublicRadio.org.